Today on Real Life Radio.
Dude, I'm so weak. Great, listen. Let him be strong in you. Tell him, I'm weak, I need your strength, God. And listen, he'll give you his strength if you plan on doing something with him. You tell him, Lord, use me, and he'll use you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Theology and Me, Part 6, continues his series called The Why Series. The Bible tells us in Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, really, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives today? You see, God is near to us. So here's a question. Why do we push God away? Or why do we not include him in our lives? Well, it's part of being human. We think we don't really need God. Our pride and our arrogance gets in the way of a true relationship with him. But God, thankfully, never gives up on us. Instead, he reaches into our hearts to convict us and to convince us to let go of our sinful nature and then embrace his offer of salvation and live a life worth living. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we walk in the Holy Spirit's power, we are no longer bound by sin and doubt. The Holy Spirit removes past things that hold us down by filling us up with his boldness and strength. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 6, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When I was a Christian in the 70s, there were things like there were the one way. I saw some of you tonight, by the way, with the one way sign, one way Jesus. I saw you worshiping like this. That's awesome. I understood what you meant by that. I grew up in that generation. Then there were things like praise the Lord. That was praise the Lord. And there were stickers and t-shirts, praise the Lord. And then Maranatha. 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 All that's okay. And then it just goes on. And then people moved on to say, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian. And then it's like everybody was a Christian. It's just like, really? So saying you're a Christian, I don't know that even matters anymore. Or being born again. I'm born again. I'm born again. Now you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. But people just drop the word and it means nothing. You mention Christian, people go, yeah, yeah, whatever. You mention born again, yeah, yeah, whatever. It's been lost. But I tell you what a good code word is in this day and age. So far, only a believer would know it. And that is exactly what we're talking about, that the Holy Spirit places you into the body of Christ. And the Bible says that we as believers, listen, we need to be found in Christ. In Christ. Do a word search later on and find out how many times in the New Testament does the scripture say in Christ. And you're going to find a wonderful pattern. It's spoken only of believers. Only those who are going to heaven. You need to ask yourself, are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, guess what? The Holy Spirit has baptized you in Christ. And you're in the family of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, notice capital S, we all were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. That's the church. Isn't that powerful? And then we talk about the baptism, or we could say the filling of the Holy Spirit, that experience. This is the baptism, some will say, that Jesus Christ performs for the benefit of the Christian. Listen, the Holy Spirit baptizes you in the body of Christ. But listen, after you're saved, the Bible, and we'll see here in a moment, the Bible will often talk about you being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. What is that? Listen, this is the baptism of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit upon you. Notice, the Holy Spirit takes you at salvation and places you into the body of Christ. But regarding our empowerment, the Bible teaches us that it's Jesus who puts the Holy Spirit upon the believer for witness, for ministry, for power. One baptism happens once into the body of Christ. In other words, you're born again once. You don't have to get saved next Sunday. Did you get saved this last Sunday? You got saved. Yeah, but I had a rough week. I need to get saved again. That's not how it works, friends. But as a Christian in life, we seek for his filling all the time. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses right now if you'd write them down. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit came down the first time ever in the New Testament church, and the church was born. And he came upon the believers. They were born again, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit's power upon them. Now, Acts 2 is unique because he not only came upon them, but he came inside of them. This was the beginning, the birth of the church. Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had all prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I love that. It doesn't matter to me if you speak in tongues. The important thing is, according to the Bible, you speak in tongues, it has to be interpreted so that everybody can understand what it was you just said. That's the gathering of believers. Is it a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes, but it's not the only manifestation. I love this one we just read in Acts 4:31. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with boldness. Do we not need that today? Where's the church and its boldness? We need to be so radically dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I'm so weak. Great, listen. Let him be strong in you. Tell him, I'm weak, I need your strength, God. And listen, he'll give you his strength if you plan on doing something with him. You tell him, Lord, use me. And he'll use you. He used a donkey. He used Balaam's donkey. He uses this jack right here. Right? Just be willing. We have so many great pastor teachers on staff. I tell you, we got guys that can just... There's some of the best teachers around. And here's the thing. I'm blown away because they open their mouth and it's golden. But I happen to be called right now to be the pastor here at this church. And I got to tell you, it's by God's grace. Because I can barely put two sentences together outside of this pulpit. God is so generous. But I revel in my weakness. Jack, do you get scared before you speak to people? Like I want to throw up. You know butterflies, is that what you call them? Do you think I don't have them? I have them all the time. Whenever I'm getting ready, you got to do a Wednesday night. You got to do Sundays three times. You got to speak. Are you going to go speak at this thing and the other? I'm sick to my stomach. You don't look like it. Because after all the years, you realize I'm gonna live. I'll make it. I'll survive. I may be a total fool when I'm done, but I'll make it. And you just get used to it. I asked Chuck Smith, before Pastor Chuck Smith died, a couple of years out before he died, I said, Pastor Chuck, I'm still always so nervous. I'm so nervous all the time. I'm so nervous. Are you ever nervous? Yep. Oh, yes. I go, you don't look nervous. He goes, I've learned how to deal with it. I just couldn't believe he was nervous. You ever see Greg Laurie before he preaches? He's nervous. You say, no way. I've seen him before a crusade in the dugout. At Anaheim Stadium, he's nervous. But when he gets up there, the power of God comes upon him. Listen, get involved in the call ministry. Learn how to give the gospel, and you'll be terrified. I'm going to tell you right now, sign up. It'll scare the snot out of you. Do it. And you know what? We'll teach you how to give the gospel. It'd be amazing. It's foolproof. It's amazing. It's awesome. You'll be so equipped. And we'll take you and we'll go door to door. And then it's your day. And you're like this. you're losing it. And your friends are behind you and it's your moment. And they open the door and you'll go. And you know what happens? Holy Spirit takes over. And you're like going and all your training's coming out. And you're like, oh my goodness, what's happening here? Look at this. And you're giving them the gospel. and power. And then you come to the moment where, would you like to accept Christ? And they'll go, yes. And you go, you do? You will? Why? Because God's power did it. It's not of you. It's awesome. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, and while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that is the Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Luke 11, we read it last week. I'm going to skip it for time's sake. It's simply this. Jesus said, ask, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? Listen, this filling experience of his power. Ephesians 5, 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You want to know what God's will is? Here it is. Do not be drunk with wine. Why? Because it doesn't last. Honestly, look, in which is dissipation. God says, why get drunk? You turn into an idiot, you make bad decisions. And then the influence of the wine is so brief that it leaks out. Why waste your time? Why give yourself to the power of something else that won't even do you good? See, you could set up rules. Thou shalt not drink. And people go, whoa, whoa, that's a bummer. And as soon as you tell somebody, don't drink, then they go, I've never drank before, but now that you said don't do it, now I want to. You know, that's how we are. We have no problem walking on the sidewalk until somebody puts a sign that says, don't walk on the grass. And then now it's like, you're not going to tell me what to do. Now you want to walk on the grass. Listen, the Bible is God's communication to us that he loves us. Father knows best. He really does. So he says, why waste your time? Think about that. He says, but, and the word in Greek is this, but be being continuous, active. Be, this is to you, the believer, be being filled with the Spirit. Isn't that cool? Speaking to yourself, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what? So what does that mean? Probably the best thing is to just tell you about this evening. Did you see the sunset? Okay, if you didn't see the sunset, then you're probably vision impaired. I get that. How could you miss it? I was inside the house and I looked out the window and the grass was pink. The trees were pink. The fence was pink. And I said, Lisa, I did. I said, Lisa, get out here. We went outside and stood. We looked like a bunch of lemmings or whatever. We're like this. Like the claw. We were like, it was amazing. Did you see it? Look. Maui is famous for sunsets. Tonight, I'm telling you, Maui wish it had a sunset like this tonight. See, what does that have to do with anything? That's exactly what we're talking about here. When the Spirit of God is controlling you and you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have God's perspective of things. That's why you can be in the midst of this nation right now that's going through, this world. You can be in the midst of a COVID craziness and have a song in your heart. You can have a melody. You can be praising God. You can thank him in the midst of all this insanity. Absolutely awesome. Got so excited, I lost my place. John 7, verse 37. Jesus said there, but the Bible tells us, first of all, that on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified or resurrected from the dead. What an awesome promise. Hey, you want to have an awesome life? Jesus said, drink of the Spirit. And out of your innermost being, down deep inside, the real person of who you are will be transformed and life will come out of you. Does that sound good to you? Life will come out of you. God does that. What about salvation? 2 Corinthians 1:22. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, "He who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "in our hearts as a guarantee." I love that verse. Look at that verse. The Holy Spirit is inside your heart as a guarantee, a deposit given to you by God. Man, that's awesome. Amen. Is that true in your life? Has that happened to you? God wants it to happen to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans 8, 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." See, that's a statement of fact. Don't raise your hand, but are you born again? Yes, I am. Then the Spirit of God is in you. That means you're not in the flesh. In fact, it means if you try to get in the flesh, you can't even get in the flesh good. You'll mess up. A born-again believer with the Spirit of God in them really stinks at sinning like they used to. They don't sin good anymore. They're miserable. They hate it. They fumble. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's inside of you saying, "What are you doing? I don't want to be here. Let's go." If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's pretty clear. Galatians 3, verse 2 says, "This only," Paul said, I want to learn from you, the church at Galatia. "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Church, which one do you think it is? Do you go to heaven by the law or by faith? Faith? By faith. And then here's the evidence. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." You know what he means by that, right? The flesh talks, our flesh talks to us all the time. Let me encourage you. If you can be absolutely, totally filled with the Holy Spirit, born again believer, walking in the power of God. Do you understand something? The flesh still talks. That's why the Bible says another place in Romans that we have to crucify the flesh all the time. Okay? You know how you come to church? You come to church, you're praising the Lord. "Oh my goodness, it's so great to be here. Humans, we're people. We're together. God, you're amazing." And you're going like this, and you have this lame, horrible thought. Do you ever have that happen? And you go, "Well, I don't want that thought. That's a horrible thought." Oh, and then listen, and the enemy, he'll wait a few minutes and then shoot another one in your head. And then you start, by the time the last song's over, you're thinking, "I think I'm going to hell. I think I'm lost. How can I be here? I was loving God when I came in here, and these thoughts have been hitting my head." That's because, listen, the enemy is attacking you. That's good news. Let him attack. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yeah, he's the devil. That's what he does. He's going to shoot. He's going to shoot. He's going to shoot at you. He's Satan. That's what he does. He's the best Satan there'll ever be. And his job is to shoot those thoughts at your head. That's why you're supposed to grab every thought and put it under the captivity of Christ. Bring it under his reign. It's very important to remember that. Verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," that's you, church, "these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba." That's Hebrew for father or dad. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Life in the Spirit. And I end here. In John 17, such a precious moment. It's actually known as the high priestly prayer of Christ. In John 17, here's an excerpt from it. In John 17, verse 20, Jesus is praying to his Father. And listen to this. He says, "I do not pray for these alone." So he must have been, think about him gesturing. Father, he's talking to his Father. And he must have had the disciples in view. Maybe it's even the disciples and others who had come to faith. And they're standing within his view. And he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me," listen, "through their word." Wow. Isn't that amazing? The world is going to learn about me, Jesus is saying, because these right here are going to tell the next person they meet. And then that person's going to tell somebody. And then that person's going to tell somebody until it gets to Chino Hills. Where were you when you heard for the first time? It's amazing. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. Is that not precious? Do you want to cry? Is that not sweet? People tell me they don't believe in God and they don't need Jesus. You're rejecting that? What's wrong with you? Jesus, he didn't have to come here. He came here so that you would experience oneness with Almighty God. And not only oneness with Almighty God, Jesus said it's going to be just as equal as his oneness with his Father, so they will have oneness with my Father. Can you believe that? You see why we're going to walk around eternity forever going, you're amazing, you're amazing, holy, 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 wow, almighty, this is incredible. He said in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. I don't even pretend to understand what that means. The glory that you gave me, I've given them. You know what that means? I think it means, you know when somebody says, hey, Junior, you know, when I die, I'm going to leave you my empire. You know, the kid's like 11 years old, picking his nose, sitting on his tricycle. He doesn't know what you're talking about. But the kid, he's like a multimillionaire in waiting. Are you with me? He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't even have a hint that attorneys are in place and all these mechanisms are in place. Listen, that when that guy dies, his death triggers all of this legal action to make that little punk a multimillionaire. He doesn't even know it. God set it all up. And no wonder why it's called the New Testament. We have last wills and testament when we die to transfer something to somebody else. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, is awesome but powerless unless he dies. Jesus had to die for it to be empowered. Amen. Everything that you experience and shall experience is all based upon the death of the one who promised. He wrote you a will, but wills are powerless until somebody dies. And then he not only died, he empowered the will. Then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead to be your advocate, to make sure the will that he left you doesn't get messed up by anybody, so that it's truly applied to you forever.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Theology and Me, Part 6. Thanks for being here today. Theology and Me, Part 6, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, history gives us a lot of examples from which we can draw strength. And Pastor Jack's book of the month for November, it's called The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It. It's by William J. Federer. This historic link is just exactly what we need to help overcome the many challenges that we're facing here in America today. You see, the Pilgrims' fight for religious freedom, it's more than just a Thanksgiving story. It's a miraculous escape from religious oppression. The Pilgrim experience took place during a very dark and dangerous time in human history. And when you read about the Pilgrims' rescue from the Barbary pirates and how God provided for them even when near starvation, you're going to feel a new boldness to share your own faith. The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It by William J. Federer. It's sure to inspire you, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you visit our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.